This week, we've been reporting on rising student loan debt in a series we're calling The Education Bubble. So far, we've focused on the role of schools, students, and parents. Today, we conclude our series by looking at other factors that contribute to student debt and whether there should be more government involvement. Craig Powell joins the conversation. He's CEO of Connect EDU, a website that helps students in the transition from college to career. He says there are some surprising reasons for high tuition costs.
As you start to peel this onion back and you get into the layers of detail of how the costs actually accumulate, there are a couple elements that are rarely discussed. One data point in the marketplace is that 47% of the kids that start at a particular institution inside the first 2 years will no longer be at that institution. So you have a transfer tax, even if they move to another institution, that typically accumulates roughly an 80% of annual cost in order to move credits from one institution to another. Another data point is your average duration of graduation is 5.4 years to graduate. Many parents and families are still operating under the notion that you graduate from college in 4 years, when in fact, statistically, that is not the case. So in your bandwidth of analysis, in your high-end expense scenario versus your low-end expense scenario, just factor in what would happen if we were part of the one and two that did transfer.
Mm-hmm. During our series, we heard from this student, Nicole Benson, former student. She was a graduate in 2007, and she has $90,000 worth of student debt. Let's listen.
And it was very, very devastating. It was very shocking. Just to look at a number like that at 22 years old is very overwhelming.
What role, Craig, do you think the federal government should play to help students like Nicole?
Yeah, and I would just say whether you're 22 years old, 42 years old, or 62 years old, that's an overwhelming debt number to be staring down. My guess is that this young lady was attending a private institution.
She was.
She was paying top dollar for that private institution. That's a good question as to whether or not she achieves a payback. Does the federal government own that burden? You know, I would say from a regulatory standpoint, greater enforcement in terms of transparency and awareness of that decision-making up front to that family would certainly be helpful. But I don't think this is going to be a governmental regulation or resolution of these issues. I really think it's going to be driven from consumerization of families collectively working together in order to create some consumer power, if you will, in order to force the transparency.
Are there ways to consolidate this debt to make it more manageable once they do get the sticker shock after 4 or 5 years of education? I mean, what can they do when they look like Nicole Benson did and say, I have $90,000 worth of debt?
Yeah, I think, you know, in truth, the real question for Nicole was, did this math equation ever make sense at the outset? As we're headed into this decision as a high school senior, what institution am I going to? What career or general career orientation am I interested in? What's the starting salary of the careers, at least at that stage of the game, potentially interested in? How does my institution place into those potential careers? Does the degree that I'm focused on and pursuing correlate to opportunities in those particular careers? Nobody is asking these questions or putting students through these processes up front. I think it's a shared responsibility between the family, between the college institutions themselves. The regulatory and policymakers need to get involved here. The simple reality of it is that if, you know, I'll give you a classic example. There's a school not too far down the road that graduates 19% of its students over the course of 6 years.
What school is it?
I'd prefer not to share their name. You know, so yet their marketing materials, you know, will tell you 98% of our graduates get jobs. You know, if I was selling a financial services product and I told you that I had a 98% placement, but when you really scratch below the surface, it was only 19% of you that actually then resulted in 98%. Mm. And in that process, I allowed you to rack up $50,000 or $60,000 worth of debt. In many markets, we would view that as criminal. In education, we allow that to go on every day, all day long, in large part because we don't put a consumer lens towards what's happening. And in the meantime, guess who the victim of it is? It's the young lady that we heard from earlier that has $90,000 worth of debt.
Let's talk about the role that colleges have. In one story in our series, we looked at schools whose graduates have high debt and schools whose graduates have low debt. Here's Simmons College President Helen Drynan.
We can't prohibit them from coming. We can advise them that Simmons may not be the best place for them, but we can't prohibit them from coming if they're performing and paying their bills. This is a free country, after all. I mean, you don't tell people what they can do and not do.
So that's Simmons College President Helen Drine. And the average debt for Simmons, by the way, is $42,174 per student.
Astronomical.
And so she's saying, well, what should we do? Students want to come. They want to pay this. They go out to the private loan market. They get this money.
The worst situation for a four-year institution is to have a student that can't stay and graduate. But that institution has no ownership once that student has left their institution as to whether or not that debt burden actually gets paid back or not. That's the sole responsibility of that student loan underwriter. But certainly colleges need to play a greater role in that.
Do you think the federal government does have a role here in sort of making sure that students don't get into this kind of a bind maybe looking at the private loan market?
Yeah, I think the federal government certainly believes it has a role here and has acted. I think the shortcoming is that it's very easy to beat up the private loan market and to look at them as the big bad wolf of this process. Do they have shared responsibility in this process? Absolutely they do. But I can tell you as a young man who grew up in rural Northwest Missouri, I would have never graduated from the Ivy League college that I went to if it weren't for alternative student loans. The notion that any individual entity owns 100% of the responsibility in this problem is a failed notion. This is a shared responsibility between the higher ed institutions, the local state governments, and the lending marketplace itself.
Craig Powell, CEO of ConnectEDU, a website that helps students make the transition from college to career. Thanks for speaking with Morning Edition.
Thank you.